Hello, my name is Richard Adams. On September 19th, 2019, I was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. This is episode 42 in a multi-year recording of my ranting and my clearing my head and my mind and just going through my journey so I can listen back to it later and see where I was. I originally started taking out the ums and the ahs and the hesitations and everything else in my cadence of speech, and then I realized I wouldn't be able to tell if it changed if I kept editing it and making it sound perfect. So it will be imperfect. It will have long pauses that aren't dramatic. They're just me thinking about what I'm going to say next. That was only like 2 seconds, so I don't count that as a long pause. But it's sort of what it is. I haven't done one of these in a couple of weeks, and I wanted to keep doing them on a regular basis. I'm going to have to put things on the schedule and stick to the schedule whether I want to do it or not. I'm doing it today because I don't want to do it, and that is a good reason to do it. I'm having a bad day today. That's why I did not want to do it. And I thought, I'm going to come on here and explain what a bad day is for me. And I'm going to explain what's happened between the last recording and this recording to show that bad days don't necessarily equal bad days in real world scenarios, or bad days don't necessarily equal good things that have gone bad. So a little bit of the history since last time I've done this. Couple of bad things have happened. Haven't influenced this day, though, really, because some good things have happened as well. The bad things, the good things, I did get to go to the wedding with my son in Vegas. Do not try to keep up with a 23-year-old. When you go on any vacation, and since it was just me and him, and he's wanting to walk around, take pictures, and see sights, and I'm on crutches out in the open because that's the best I can move, and all I can see is the back of him. Good and bad. I would say if I said that is bad, I would be one of those half glass empty kind of people. I don't know. I think Vegas is there to me for the people watching, and that's what I enjoyed, except I did not enjoy the fact that it was like mid-50s to mid-60s, and every so-called showgirl was out there with her friend, showgirl, wanting pictures with showgirls. No, I don't want that. Leave me alone. I did see it was pretty funny. They kept coming up to my son, because he's a nice-looking young man, and trying to get pictures with him, and he's just like, no, no. So, but I'm hopping away on my crutches, trying to stay away from him. Pretty funny. The other thing in Vegas, which is the reason I wouldn't want to go to any bigger cities, is no one gives a shit that you're on crutches. They're nice and hold the door, and there's all that politeness, but when you're out on the sidewalk, you are one of the herd. many, many times I was walking with one crutch up and one for balance on the ground. Otherwise, it would have been a mess. But I wasn't going to talk about anything in particular very long, but I thought that was pretty funny. Again, congratulations to Kevin. My buddy Scott's brother got married. They look very happy. Big nerds. And it was nice. It was very nice being there. Not knowing a lot of the people, but it was very nice. Other couple of things. Nothing as good as that. Except that my wife is on vacation and she feels selfish about doing it. She's an idiot. We already paid for the vacation. She's down in, Cancun with a couple of her girlfriends. One of which is brand new and the other she's known since elementary school. And she feels guilty about doing anything that expensive for herself. And I don't understand, especially since it's paid for. It's not like she's making decisions daily as to whether or not to get the steak or to get the small salad and breadstick. It's all paid for, so that's another good thing. So one of those things where you pay in advance and then you don't worry about it. I guess it's kind of like a cruise, but I've never gone on a cruise. Now a couple of the crappy things, which show you that things don't balance out. But as I am getting ready to go, my mother fell in a place called Fat Bob's, which I think is hilarious. What a great name. And I say it's a great name because my stepfather was named Bob. And Fat Bob's is a pizza place near where my mom lives with my aunt. And I guess the old ladies go there quite a bit. And I don't know what the story is. We joke and say that my aunt was pushed her to the side trying to get to the pizza before my mom. I don't know. My mom doesn't even remember. But it's because her short-term memory just stinks. But she broke her hip. And she broke her hip in a good way. Could you imagine being the doctor who gets to walk in and go, yeah, but if there's a good way to break your hip, that's the best way you could break your hip, the way she did it. So, yeah, she broke her hip in a good way. Just the ball joint or whatever, the ball sitting up there on the hip, they just replaced that portion. I don't know if they titanium or plastic or whatever the material is. I'm sure it'll last a lot longer than any of the recipients of that who do that surgery or do those procedures. But my mom is 86, going on 87 very shortly. A couple of weeks, actually, beginning of April. If you're listening to this some other time, sorry. But, so she broke her hip. She's doing a heck of a lot better, but she's 86. And it's hard to get her up on her feet and out of bed and get her to therapy. And I got to keep telling her, and we all tell her that, you know, this is it. This is the decision. Are you going to be tough? Are you going to be wimpy? Are you going to never get out of that bed again? Are you never going to go home again? Because all it does is takes you to get to walk. If you walk, you can go home. And to walk, you need to stand. And to stand, you need to stand from one chair to the next. You need to get to the wheelchair. You need to be able to be free to go to the bathroom. Because at this point, literally in her house, right across the hallway, is the bathroom. She has the cool bedroom that's right across the hallway from the bathroom. And she can't get out of bed to do that. So if she can't do that, she can't go home. So we keep praying and telling and talking to her about it. So, yeah. But not going to dwell on that. Surgery went really well. I offer much praise to the people at Southwest General and the doctors and nurses and everyone there. Especially the social worker who got her into a place near my aunt to get the rehabilitation therapy. Wonderful people. Thomas, God bless you. God bless everybody that works on the fifth floor there in 5E at Southwest. Doing God's work as it will. Or as it would. Can't recall how that saying goes. But, yeah, so that happened. And then real good friends of mine, Josie and Jim, I have to say, played a part in their matchmaking, because Jim is quiet and may not have said a word, and he had said that he had thought about it and never had gone through with asking, and I said, you need to ask. I said, Josie's one of the people, one of the women in the world who scare the hell out of me at the time, because she was smart and she could plan things. And I know that there'd be a spot to bury me, no matter how big as I was, if I'd ever done anything to tick her off. But perfect for Jim, I guess. He's a quiet guy. He'd never do anything to tick her off. And in the long run, I saw how compassionate she was as Jim went through some of his struggles with his health. Stood right by her. But Josie's brother, Dave, what a pain in the ass Dave was. And he would think that right for me to say this about him now. Because God knows we all loved him and cared for him. And God knows he had that smile. And if you look at the picture of him, or any pictures of him, it's like a smirk. But it's not a smirk. It is his genuine smile that if you talk to him and he smiles and laughs, the laugh and the smile is It's just contagious. Goofy guy, loved him. He's there at one of the funniest points in my life when we were bowling and Dave and I couldn't hit enough pins together to compete against the one guy we're playing with who came with his ball bag, his shoe bag, his, I mean, he might as well have, I think he did have a shirt that was like a bowling shirt and wearing like jeans and t-shirts, and he's looking all good putting his shoes on, and we're trying to figure out shoe rental and ball rental and the right size, and he is bowling a fantastic game, and Dave and I are giggling the whole time, and he gets so mad. I think he didn't pick up a spare, like one pin or something, because he was kicking the crap out of us after five frames, and he gets so mad at us, he picks up his stuff and leaves. Puts the ball away, puts his shoes away, we're trying to talk to him, and he just leaves. And as he walked out, Dave and I just like looked at each other like, okay, well, I guess that happened. We'll just take turns bowling his frame. He bowled, he was still, well, he beat us nonetheless, even if he didn't bowl the last five frames. His first five frames were enough to dominate us. We could have bowled gutter balls and he would have still beat us. But we were out to have fun and he was there to become a real bowler, and we didn't quite understand that. But I don't think Dave understood a lot of things. And it was fun. He was so much fun. And Dave passed away. And I find that hard to believe. I thought Dave would be here giggling and laughing long after I had gone. Old Josie, this person I'm telling the story about, if you're listening to this, was Rick. So, yeah, you, not all make sense, right? But, yeah, no, Dave, God, I've known Dave for years and years and years, longer than I've been married. I've been married 27, going on 28 years soon. Well, 27 years and a half, I guess, so I'm somewhere near the middle. But, I don't know. I mean, I knew Dave before then. And Dave was the kind of friend like Jim, like Josie, like so many others, that if they need me, I would be there. And if I needed them, they would be here. Just because we haven't talked or haven't seen each other in the past long time. Dave, God, probably a decade. But, you know, Dave was a good dude. I can't think of an... I can't think of a nicer way to put it. His stories all make me laugh. And it's not necessarily with him or at him, or it's just such a combination of all of that. So that's a couple of bad things to go along with a couple of good things. So you can see it, like, you know, life balancing itself out with me anyway. So, and I keep getting these ding, ding, dings and pop-ups and everything else. I thought I'd do this now and... I don't know. Whatever. We'll let it pass. So anyway, so what's so bad about the bad day? So the bad day today is, well, right now it's after 2 o'clock, and I had no idea. I've been up and down and awake and changing spots to sleep, and I've been in bed, and I've been in the chair, and I've been on the floor, and I've been everywhere. My head aches, my arm aches, my... there's a thing that people with Parkinson's do that I think you, any of you out there listening, can relate to. When your arm shakes, and that arm, in my arm, it's my dominant arm, my right arm. So when that arm shakes and you're walking, the left arm's swinging naturally, and they tell you, swing the other one, look natural with it. And it's, you want to, but the natural reaction is to pull it up close to your belly and hide it and try to hold it in place. It's impossible. But what it does is that it aches that bicep and aches that shoulder. I've had points where my left shoulder is hurt because it's ached so much. And I'm right, my right side is the side with Parkinson's. So you try to let it go. I've done things like wearing gloves on my right hand to keep myself in mind that this is a hand with Parkinson's and it's shaking. Let it go. You know, I've done all sorts of stuff to try to do that. I was at the chiropractor the other day, and he said to get a weight and put it in that hand and just go up and down like you're doing that little, you know, that little bicep motion where you raise the shoulder and lower the shoulder, you know, that sort of thing. And I've been spending also all this time looking for these damn boxer weights that I got for myself when I first had Parkinson's about a year ago, because they had mentioned about putting weight on that shoulder to just to hold my hand in place. And for the life of me, I have recleaned this room that I'm in, my office. Been in this office for about 2 years. I probably recleaned it about 8 times. Changed the split, the wall I'm on, changed things hanging up, changed things standing on shelves. And for the life of me, I can't figure out where they are. And it's making me a bit crazy. It's irritating. And what that's another thing that's funny. I know it's Parkinson's because I could throw something right now. I'm just so upset with it. My meds are up. I'm on everything. I just, you know, half an hour ago took my next 3 of 10 pills that I take throughout the day. So I'm five pills through my 10 pill day of just the Carbolopas. And this has got me so aggravated. My arm still is shaking. I can't make it stop. And it's just a bad day. It's hard to say. This is a situation where I'm not even sure I can drive. I had something to go to this morning that I didn't go to because I wasn't sure I could drive. My daughter's got a scrimmage this afternoon that if I don't feel better in the next hour or so, I am writing it off because it's only a scrimmage. But it's just so hard to describe. I think I've said it before as I can't. And this is an I can't day. So I'm kind of glad it's, you know, going on 2:30, 3 o'clock, and my day is slipping away. And I just don't know what's going on. But I know that if I was forced to pay attention to somebody else or have to do something on the computer or have to read and analyze or any of the other functions of my job, multitasking, I couldn't do it. It's so bad. I don't know that I can go down and do the dishes right now. Thank God that later today I will have other people that are off work and home and they can deal with that. Right now, I'm doing this. Well, see, I don't even know that that takes on what a bad day is. How about the fact that I've only been up since, I don't know. When I say it's 2:30, it's hard to say. But since I've been up solidly, I've had 6 of my 8-hour arthritis strength Tylenol. And my arm still hurts. Aggravating as crap. I don't know. So much to do. So much to say. So much to not say. I'm going to keep trying to do these. I got to keep doing this. They want me to do this as well. Because they... The doctors and the people from my retirement and everything think it's a good idea. My counselor listened and said that it was very good. And she did not like the way I said disability or found it interesting or something. I'm not certain, but if you're listening to this, God bless you and congratulations on the birth of the baby. And I will talk at you when you feel comfortable enough to come back to work. I love babies, by the way. But still haven't seen my nephew's kids. Twins, and they've got to be 6 months old by now. And I just love little babies that aren't doing anything. So I don't know why I haven't been there. He's all of like 20 minutes away. It's just this whole multitasking crap. It's just this whole keeping things in your head long enough to remember that you should be doing them. And by the time I'm done with this, see, what I'll do is I'll go ahead and get it loaded and posted and uploaded right away for you to listen to. Because if I don't, I'll have recorded it and no idea. It could go into the ether somewhere. So, if you see it up there, that means I just recorded it. It's the same day. If you see it up there, it's been there a couple of days. That's the time I recorded it, is when I put it up there. So, you've been listening to me bumble along for just over 20 minutes. Hopefully you've gotten to work, or you've gotten to school, or you've gotten to wherever the hell you're going, and it was safe and a nice trip, and you listened to me and went, holy shit, at least my life's not as fucked up as his is. I'm sure my father would not have approved of that, using the word fucked up to end it. Word, words, phrase. And I don't mean it offensively. I know it sounds offensively, but sometimes I feel that's exactly how it is. And sometimes I don't. Unfortunately, I still watch too much television. I don't work so much on the computer. And I still read as much as I can. But it's real weird when I have to multitask something. I'm having a hard time. So, everybody out there, take care of yourself. You never know what's going to come up. You know, they say, hug your family, tell them you love them and all that, because it may not be there. It's all true, though. It is all true. Again, my name is Richard Adams. And on September 19th, 2019, I was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. This is my rambling. I'm glad you're out there. I'm glad you listen. Oh, and by the way, there's like nearly 200 of you. I did my math over the next 2 days after posting the last one, and there's like nearly 200 of you listening that have downloaded or just listened to it off the thing. God bless you, crazy people. I love you all, each and every one of you. Now I gotta do my outro again. But God bless you, crazy people. Anyway, Richard Adams, thanks for listening. Again, diagnosed September 19th, 2019. And this is my rambling. This is my story. And you've wasted nearly 23 minutes of your life listening to me go on and on. And I appreciate you, and I love each and every one of you. And if you don't feel loved, if you don't believe you are loved, listen to the end of this several times. If I know you, you know I love you. If I don't know you, I would love you. All I had to do would meet you. And I wouldn't love you that way. That's just gross. I've been married too long. All right. You take care. Hopefully this gives you some insight into me, and hopefully this gives me some insight into me. Thanks for listening, though. Bye.